swings it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland and Shaqiri have scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get it going tonight. The Dynamo run to the MLS Cup falling one game short, but an exceptional year in the Dynamo for all of us out there. Really enjoying a season of rejuvenation, of return to relevancy from the competitive side. And we'll talk about that tonight here. I'm also going to break that game down because we didn't really get a lot of people talking about, you know, what happened in this game. I want to talk the hows and whys things happened here tonight. I also want you, the Dynamo fan, to call the show at 713-780-3776. Who's your defender of the year? Who's your midfielder of the year? Who's your striker of the year? And who is the team MVP? I mean, I think that's pretty easy one. But I do want to get your thoughts on that. Defender of the year might be a tough one. 713-780-3776, because you had two guys there who really changed the trajectory of the team. One was the signing of Eric Svechenko. The other was the emergence of Griffin Dorsey, who's a free agent, by the way. So the Dynamo will hopefully get him signed prior to him wanting to test the free agency market. Now, there's another rumor that's flying out there. We had one the other day of Coco Karaskia and Aston Villa. There's another one flying out there about the potential of some sort of a move to Club America. Don't know the validity of any of these. Some people were saying it might be a straight-up trade for a player named Leo Suarez, who's apparently an attacking player. So I don't know if that's real. That one makes a little bit more sense than Aston Villa to me. But we'll go over the Dynamo roster here as well. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Man, what a time it is for the soccer fan in Houston. If we just look out what we have coming, we got Copa America next year. I mean, incredible. We get two group games. And by the way, we're going to talk tonight to David Fletcher of Lone Star Sports and Entertainment on Copa America. He's going to fill you in on everything. It's going to be a good conversation there. But you got the Gold Cup. You got the World Cup. FIFA Club World Cup will come to this country, whether Houston gets those games or not. I think that's probably the less relevant of all the tournaments we just mentioned, obviously. You got the Dynamo in the Champions League now. See, I love that. I love that. That, to me, I love. The Dynamo getting back in the CONCACAF Champions League and getting international competition in here brings in a whole different group of fans a lot of times. So I'm really looking forward to that as well. By the way, as the Dynamo have gone so far here this season, down to the last four teams, remarkable achievement. For Ben Olsen, his squad, Pat Onstad, Asher Mendelson, and all the people behind the scenes who do the work that never get a mention. Guess what? That means a really shortened off season, quickly making moves and decisions, and you're turning it around, and you're playing, I believe, early February in CONCACAF. So, think about that. All right, let's go to the other two guests tonight. Now, this is really, really interesting. I think you're going to love this interview, and Astros fans will like this one as well. Jeff Lunau, the former Astros general manager, now is with Blue Crow Sports Group. They have lower division professional soccer teams around the world. Cancun FC won the second division in Mexico. He's got Leganés in Spain in the second division. They are currently at the top of the table. So they still got a long way to go in their season. But can you imagine if they then get promoted? I talked to him about promotion relegation. I talked to him about data, if it applies in baseball. How does it apply to soccer? So really, really interesting conversation with Jeff Luhnow. And by the way, that's two segments. So that's 30 minutes of content there. And we could have kept going. Incredibly smart, sharp man. I think everybody knew that anyway. But really interesting to see him in the football world and what his group, Blue Crow Sports Group, is doing. Okay, then we've got Juan Carlos Amoros. So Gotham FC went from the worst team in the league to winning the NWSL title. They went on a run, got in the playoffs, knocked off North Carolina, knocked off Portland in Portland, North Carolina in North Carolina, and then beat OL Reign in the title game. That's Juan Carlos Amoros, the head coach. He was a coach of the year. He was briefly here in Houston, got the team into the playoffs as an interim coach. So I don't know, Dash fans. I don't hear much from them. 713-780-3776. If there's anybody who wants to comment, obviously Jane Campbell's a story for the Dash this year. Only 16 goals scored, not enough. I mean, not even close to being enough. But it was a good defensive team. Got to score goals to win games. Okay, so Juan Carlos Amoros. I also asked him about what he would like to see happen in the NWSL, changes and types of things like that. So there we go. I heard Jim Gray talking about the NCAA football selection and, to have a team that was 12-0 undefeated in Florida State knocked out of it. Now, I don't know a whole lot about all of this, but one of the quotes from the committee members was like, quote, all of us had the emotional tie, like, holy, you know what, this is really going to suck to do this, one committee member told ESPN. We talked about that over and over. We just kept coming back to, are they good enough with what they have to win a national championship? It just kept coming back to, we didn't think they could. Well, they were 12-0. So it's a little confusing to me, and I should have brought somebody on the show to talk about this. Well, what's the criteria? Is it winning? Is it strength of schedule? All of a sudden here, now you've got people being very subjective with, you know, are they good enough right now to win? I thought it was hard facts that got you into these top four spots, but I guess I'm off on that. But Jim Gray, the commentator on the NCAA football selection, here's what he said. He said, quote, it's not a meritocracy anymore. Florida State, undefeated, did not get selected. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's go back to the Houston Dynamo match. So Carlos Vela came out early, hit the crossbar. But then the Houston Dynamo, a couple of minutes later, Hector Herrera, and I'll tell you, this was the best Dynamo chance the entire night. Hector Herrera hits the sweetest of balls to the back post. Corey Baird does a great job of pulling off Chiellini and smashes his volley, but, you know, it's right at the near post, and Crapo makes a save. Here's what it sounded like on ESPN 97.5.
It's a lazy ball. Quiñones has gotten there. He's won it back for the Dynamo. Murillo didn't get there quick enough. Here's Hector now getting into the final third. Herrera curls it. Baird at the far post. Met it beautifully and sweetly. But it's denied by Maxime Crapo.
LAFC gets the game-winning goal, the go-ahead goal, the 44th minute on the stroke of halftime.
Careful with Murillo here. Ball gets played in. It's a header, saved, and then stuffed in. The follow from Hollingshead. And this is a body blow to the Houston Dynamo on the stroke of halftime here.
So let's talk about Hollingshead. If you remember going back to June, he got absolutely torched by Nelson Quiñones. Torched. Embarrassed. If you watch that game closely, Hollingshead, the first time I believe that Nelson Quiñones took him on, absolutely cracked him. Won the tackle. Nelson got up a little bit slow from that, was never the same the rest of the night, did not get behind Hollingshead, I don't think once. Same thing on the other side of the field. Diego Palacios really controlled that. So their two outside backs, to me, were superstars for LAFC in this game because they did not allow people to penetrate. Griffin Dorsey made some good push in the second half, but he was really the only one. Got a couple of crosses in, but their two outside backs were exceptional. Why am I looking at them? Because it allowed the two center backs, who are absolute beasts, Jesus Murillo and Giorgio Chiellini, the 39-year-old, to remain in the middle all night long. And one of my keys to the game was, could you penetrate out wide? Could you pull Chiellini out of the middle and take advantage of him? Because he can't move like he once did. But with him compact, with people next to him in the middle, killing space, those guys looked like redwood trees back there. And Corey Baird couldn't find any space. The Dynamo couldn't hold the ball in the box, couldn't get in the box much. So you have to really give them a lot of credit, because LAFC won this game this way. Not Buanga, not Carlos Vela. They had an influence. They won this game with tremendous team shape, married with pressure on the ball. That's how they did it. Oh, Glenn, but 70% possession for the Dynamo. Yeah, in their own half and in the middle third. And, of course, that changed after the Hollingshead goal. And they felt very confident doing that. And remember, they were really pragmatic in Seattle. So they're a team that can play in transition through Denis Bouanga. And the Dynamo did a good job on him. I think they did a pretty good job on Vela as well. And they became a little bit less of the story. LAFC would get a second in the 80th minute with the Dynamo still at that point trying to figure them out.
He's got an overlapping run from Palacios. He brings it. Palacios squares it. Oh, it's an own goal. Could be lights out for the Houston Dynamo here tonight.
I felt bad for Franco Escobar, who's had such a great season. That came against his former team. But that would be the final score, 2-0. Better team won in this. I think it also amplifies the question that we had at the very beginning of the year, and that is goal scoring. I mean, this Dynamo team was built on collective defending. That married with possession, which you would also say is really part of defending, is if you're possessing the ball, your opponent doesn't have it. So excellent team shape, collective defending the Houston Dynamo. Excellent possession game. For the most part, got into final thirds all year long, except for that early stage of the season, the first 10 games. And, a lot of positive, but have to find, I would think, a center forward, and you got to find another attacking midfielder. The front four for the Dynamo, and you can look at it from a variety of ways. They just were not dangerous in this game, couldn't hold the ball. Really had a real struggle, and I'm talking about Amin Bassi, Coco Carrasquilla, Corey Baird, and Nelson Quiñones. You didn't get enough out of those four. In their defense, the only thing you could really say is you didn't get a lot of penetration to move LAFC a little bit to help them. But you do have to find ways to break people down, especially after you concede the game's first goal. All right, here's Dynamo head coach Ben Olsen on the vision for next season.
So, yeah, that's a neat challenge for this group. It's another step to kind of furthering us, our brand and our awareness, kind of the Americas, and just more opportunity for us to kind of find out about ourselves.
More from Ben on what the loss means.
We'll learn from it. We saw today what it looks like, and now we go back in the offseason, try to get better and say, okay, what do we need to get to there? And that's part of this theme now. We want to start working on next year right now and how we get better, how we sustain this type of momentum that we've built with this franchise this year. And so it hurts, but there's so many positives. Reigniting a franchise team in there has done so much as far as three home playoff games, getting in the postseason, bringing a trophy back to Houston. These are not easy things, and this team did all of that. So. Again, it's going to hurt tonight, but I think when we digest this, look back on this season as a springboard to more seasons like this.
Don't disagree with anything he says there. Ben Olsen's right on there. It's been a fantastic year. The big question that really wasn't solved was, yes and no, the goal-scoring side of it. Certainly in the playoffs. You only had one multi-goal game. Five games in the playoffs, and again, the Dynamo bread and butter The Dynamo bread and butter was just this wonderful collective team. Team defending, excellent possession game. What a watch they were down at, you know, Shell Energy Stadium, if you had the opportunity to get there. What a watch. I mean, I've told a lot of people from my perspective how much more fun it was this year. Now, if the Dynamo can find two big attacking pieces, and we'll talk about that some more tonight, watch out. If they had a bona fide striker, and I'm not taking anything away from Corey Baird, but, you know, he's really a winger. Have to give him that in defense, right? Same with Coco. Coco's kind of played out of position. How about what Franco Escobar did, moving to left back? I mean, there's just so many really great storylines this year. Signing of Sviatchenko, huge. Emergence of Griffin Dorsey. On and on we go. All right, we'll take a break. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713. Call now. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They've been getting us on the radio all year long for the past, gosh, I don't know how many years it is, but John Daspit has brought soccer to the airwaves, English language, as our anchor sponsor, and we really appreciate it. And all the others that have helped us over the years. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, Hugh O'Connor's, Lamont Brands is helping us out with our t-shirts and hats, perfect for Christmas. LamontBrands.com. Benefit the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. Break time.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, the Markey Entertainment Center. Get out there. You want a real pub-like experience. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Go in there, see Goose, see Dave. Large whiskey selection, large beer selection, all the games you want to see. Liverpool Supporters Group, that's their home as well. So it's a great spot out there. Again, Soccer Matters always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So we thank John and his firm for their great support of this. Again, I got coming up a little bit later, Jeff Lunau, the former Astros general manager, now with Blue Crow Sports. Amazing, amazing stuff going on with some of the clubs that he's bought in lower divisions in different countries. First off, Cancun FC, second division winners in Mexico, and then Leganes in the Spanish second division. They're currently in first place. So they get promotion to La Liga, put one and one together, a huge financial boost. So we're going to talk to him about data promotion, relegation. There's a lot of Astros references in this interview, including A.J. Hinch. So very good. We have Juan Carlos Amoros, Gotham FC. They were the winners of the NWSL title. Talked to him about the league, about competition now coming from a lot of the foreign brands as well. David Fletcher will come up in the next segment. David will come on. We're going to talk Lone Star Sports and Entertainment and the Copa America. Good chance we're going to get a Leo Messi a run down here in Houston. We do know from the Copa America that Mexico will play in the opener here. And if Mexico can just come on second in their group and Argentina wins theirs, we could have an Argentina-Mexico game right here in Houston. I see my producer, Guillermo Lazo Romero, rubbing his hands. He wants that bad. He wants that bad. So that's what we're going to do with David coming up as well. So back to the Dynamo. Teenage Adebi. This one kind of hurts because Teenage was a real charismatic guy. But, you know, this is how it works in professional sports. He's a starting left center back. He gets injured. Mikael comes in. Not a big hit against the salary cap. Plays outstanding. Becomes a player for the future. And your other player's a designated player. One with a big personality. One that played in Turkey. Who, incidentally, was Ted Siegel's first big move when he took the team over, when it came to a player acquisition and a roster move. Teenage Adebi came in as a DP. So teenage, sadly, is gone. But that's sports. It's going to open up some cap money, and it opens up a designated player spot as well. Hector Herrera's a DP. So is Sebas Ferreira. The Dynamo have a real challenge there with him now because he's down in Brazil not scoring goals. His valuation has dropped. So that's a bit of a problem there. Now, I forgot to mention the other MLS conference final. Who do we got here? Oh, we got Tomas. All right, let's go to the line. Tomas, what do you got, Tomas?
Hey, Glenn, thanks for taking my call. A few questions about the Dynamo, not knowing, like, I guess more of the business and contract side. And you know, I mean, that was news to me about teenage right now. So thank you. I mean, he's awesome, but it's a good business move, like you said. My question to you is, I kind of rewatched the YouTube of your interview with Pat Onstad. So it sounds like the goal of this offseason is just to retain as much as we can. And doesn't sound like there will be big moves unless the Coco domino kind of falls. How does that line up with the additional tournament that will be in the Champions League? I mean, I would think you would kind of want to add another kind of top-tier player to add to your depth and then, kind of fill out your bench. I guess I'm more interested on limitations that the MLS cap and roster structure is for us to build like a multiple teams for all, to be competitive across all tournaments. I'm kind of ignorant to that.
That's always the problem. I think the overall budget now is 7-point-something million. So there's a couple things that are going on right now, and this is why, I mean, these guys have to be incredibly busy. You are correct in that, and I agree with you 100%. The strength and depth of rosters to compete in the CONCACAF Champions League, you always want that to improve because you want to win that tournament. So teenage opens a DP slot. That's good news. You can go get an attacking piece or two. I think you heard Pat Onstad say they are looking for attacking pieces. I think that last game, if you reference Ben Olsen, said, we see things. I think what we clearly saw was we don't have enough dynamic. We have dynamic potential in that front four, but it's a group of guys that really aren't goal scorers. Big, legit. It's not a Cucho. It's not a Chicho Arango. It's, these are guys that are difference makers. That I think that's an area where the Dynamo are going to look to do more. I mean, they had to get by with Corey Baird playing as a center forward and had a good season, but he's really a winger in defense of him. It's not easy for him, I don't think. So we'll see. Sebas Ferreira, what are the Dynamo going to do with him? I mean, that's a tough one because his valuation isn't high right now. He gets a big salary. I'm sure the Dynamo pay a quite a bit of a large portion of that still. So what do you do? Do you cut your losses? Do you loan him again? Does it remain the same? You almost got a little bit of an anchor around your ankle here on that one. And that's going to be some tough decisions and bold decisions. I mean, do you bring him back? Do you see if you can revive him and make him a part of the system? Do you even question if he was a nine all year long, if he could have scored goals for you? I don't know. He wasn't a tactical fit. That's, Ben Olsen didn't think he was the tactical fit. He's the coach. Who's me to second guess him? But it does lead to thinking about things. And the league may add a fourth designated player. Coco Karaskia could move. He's asked for a move. We're hearing something. I don't know the legitimacy of this stuff. When it comes from Facebook or Facebook, you never know. I mean, they're talking about some sort of a trade with Club America. On the other hand, when Coco Karaskia is in conversation, even if it's rumors, or with Aston Villa, I guess these are not bad things to be going on out in the public around a player that gets people talking, agents talk, people talk, and it gets turned into something else. So the Dynamo, it was an amazing season, really, because you brought people in to be the left back, Brad Smith, Gaspar, Smith had a hard time coming back from the injury. Dorsey then really defines the right back position, which moves Franco Escobar, who does wonderful there. Mikael, there's an injury that opens the door for him. We have to understand that being opportunistic, being ready for your opportunity, training like a first team player so that when that opportunity comes, you are able to take advantage of it. And I'll tell you what, Mikael did. We know Griffin Dorsey's training like a beast, okay? And these two guys have done fantastic things, and they were the lower end of your salary cap. So, you know, Griffin Dorsey's going to have to get paid now, no question. But it's just fun to see this kind of come back, to see smiles on people's faces, to see a team that's got a true orchestrator out there that, that can keep the ball and nurture the ball and play some tight give and goes and open the game up. And then the element of width comes as the maturity of Quiñones is brought into the team. So a lot going on, but I think a lot happens once the domino effect of moves happen. Already got one good one. Teenage Adebi opens a DP spot. You have to think they're looking for an attacking player, Tomas.
Thank you for that info. And then I guess the one last question, and I'll hang up and listen if you have a response. But I guess I know our youth system is being turned around right now, and I know it's going to be a long project, so to speak. But is there anyone that you've heard or keeping your eyes on? I know the goalie is doing well with his youth national team. I know there's a lot of kind of hype behind Brooklyn Reigns because he's brought in from outside the organization. Is there a guy? I know there's a score on Dynamo Dos. I'm forgetting his name. But is there a guy that you're liking maybe make a step onto the, you know, maybe not the starting 11, but being a contributor since we'll be in an additional tournament next year? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, Tomas. Well, I sure hope so. I mean, because, look, that's the area, the Dynamo also, and everybody's aware of it. Ted Siegel, Pat Onstad, Asher Mendelson, Ben Olsen, they're all aware of it. You have to get cheap labor from your academy. And that means at some point you want to be playing players that are 17, 18, 19 and breaking them in 20 because, you got to get to a point where some of them are getting blooded early. I think soccer players now, their development, they got to be in really strict, serious environments pretty quickly. Now, the Dynamo were a bit handcuffed with that. One, because I don't know if the talent's coming through yet. And number two, they're kind of in a position where they got to win now. If you're the Seattle Sounders, you can maybe with your history and what you have going on, where you sit in the table, you can take some risks like they did last year. They started three teenagers in Austin. But the academy is a big piece. And I think we're going to get Tony Vigil on, who heads it up. We'll talk to Tony and get him on. But that part of it is important. And I think in soccer, you know, the younger they get developed, the better nowadays. I think, you know, you see it happening in Europe all the time. It's got to start happening here. Brooklyn Reigns didn't get a lot of minutes, got a little bit in the beginning, got a little bit in Tampa, but scored the goal, actually. Hey, by the way, go back to that. Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Brooklyn Reigns had the goal against Tampa in the very first game. And, of course, the USL championship teams all get up for MLS teams. And they were maybe the better team that night, but Brooklyn Reigns had that very key goal to advance you. You know, you get upset in that first game. You know, we're not sitting here relishing in that amazing Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup final effort, right? That was pretty spectacular. But that's a good game to use as an example because the Dynamo blew them off the field. Ben Olsen, the Dynamo, blew Inter Miami off that field, even though Lionel Messi wasn't there. That first half should have been 3-0. That should have been a game that was over. That should have been a game where an opponent maybe starts to run a little bit less and doesn't compete as hard. And I think you could go to a half dozen games this year that you really needed to get a second goal and provide that cushion. You needed more multi-goal games to take the edge off opponents and to be more comfortable, take the stress off your defense. I'll tell you, Dynamo defending was pretty remarkable this year. And you know, that also, not only the performance of the back four and Steve Clark in goal, but also that's overall as a team. The team defending was incredible. I mean, if you were a center back on this team in the past, it was a nightmare. I mean, because the Dynamo got cut through like water. I mean, you're only as good as what's in front of you. And Artur's pretty good in front of you, I'll tell you that. Hector Herrera, it's pretty good in front of you. Coco Bossi working hard, good in front of you, all right? Distinct difference. And by the way, Matias Vera, who used to play the six, he's now out of contract. So there you go. Now, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but if you looked at Matias Vera in the six, not capable of playing it by himself. Artur, capable of playing it by himself. That's a good comparison to think about. All right, coming up next, we go with David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. We didn't even get to any of our European stuff, which, by the way, Arsenal got a winner today from Declan Rice, 90+7 to win 4-3. Conceded three goals against Luton. Trent Alexander-Arnold got a second goal to have Liverpool beat Fulham in a 4-3. I mean, some of these games are just out of sight when it comes to the amount of goals. Enzo Fernandez scored one for Chelsea, 3-2 win over Brighton. Spurs, 3-3 with City. Crazy scores, right? I mean, anybody defending over there in the Premier League? Anyway. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. It's David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment on Copa America. We got Jeff Lunau, the former Astros GM, and Juan Carlos Amoros, Gotham FC, the NWSL champions. We'll take a break, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Zinchenko. It's back to Odegaard. It's Rice! Oh, it's brilliant! Arsenal ask questions like seldom before this season. And Declan Rice delivers a towering answer with a last-minute winner to break Luton hearts.
All right, we continue on tonight on Soccer Matters. And, of course, man, when you look out, we have some amazing content coming through Houston. We got the Copa America next year. We got World Cup 2026. We're expected to get Gold Cup. So there is so much going on. No better guy to talk to than the man out at Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, out at Energy Stadium with the Texans. He is David Fletcher. David joins us now. David, how are you?
Glenn, I tell you, you mentioned a lot of exciting things there. That's just a little bit of what's in our world right now, all around a playoff caliber football team over here at NRG Stadium with the Texans. So it's a great time of year for Houston sports fans. Rockets are playing well. Dynamo had a great run. Wish they had one more week in them. You know, U of H has got a lot of excitement with basketball starting, new head coach on the football side, but you know, NRG Park seems to be the epicenter of the sporting world for at least the next couple months, and we are really excited that that's the case. So,
all right, I'm a shameless Rolling Stones fan. That's a big deal, though. April 28th, because
Rolling Stones coming through.
The first ever rock concert was the Rolling Stones at NRG, but just tell me from your perspective if you think the fact that the tour starts in Houston at NRG is a big deal, because global eyes on the start of a Rolling Stones tour, that's for sure.
Kidding me? You don't have to ask me that question. You know the answer to that. It's really exciting. I mean, Houston is just such a global city, you know, one of the biggest in the world, and the entertainment options here are endless. And, you know, just a testament to the support that this community provides. So, yeah, I think it's a really big deal. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in the pit if we can figure out our way in. on April 28th. That'll be fun.
Got to be in the action. That's where it's at, down front. All right, Copa America 2024. It's been announced. 10 CONMEBOL teams, 6 guests. I mean, the likes of the World Cup holders, Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, Chile, all these famous soccer countries with so much history. 6 from North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. Houston here again, getting 2 group games and then a quarterfinal. We know Mexico will open up here.
I mean, just an incredible opportunity for our community here. Well-deserved opportunity. This is the biggest event that will happen in North America next year. And, leading up to the FIFA World Cup in 2026, I don't think any market has been as deserving or has been as successful at taking advantage of the runway we have than Houston has. And there's only more to come. But with this announcement, we are over here at NRG Park. We're thrilled. I mean, we really are. It's you just mentioned it. Mexico returning back, their 21st time at NRG Stadium, more than any other venue in the country. It's their true home away from home. You've got world-class events, as we saw in 2016 when we hosted this event, world-class competition. The best from each of these nations will be here. It is the oldest tournament in all of the world when it comes to national team competitions. And that July 4th quarterfinal, whoever is here, it will be an amazing celebration of soccer. But the opportunity to host Argentina's group winner versus Mexico's group runner-up, boy, the possibilities there are just endless. And obviously starting with the FIFA World Cup champions and in Argentina potentially being here in Houston, Lionel Messi, the impact he's made on the sport, and certainly over the last year in this country, and the opportunity to potentially celebrate that. And It's another reason we can point to as to why Houston is the best soccer market in the country.
100% right there with you on that. Talk about maybe the economic windfall of this. And I know everybody wants to talk the economics on this because that is a big piece of this. I'll be the first to say, having called past Copa Americas from Latin America and looking at the stadiums in La Paz at altitude, It was fascinating because their infrastructure isn't the same as here in the United States. But the bottom line is you can't monetize it any place else in the world like it's monetized in the U.S., right?
Well, you're exactly right. And that for the sport is why there's so much excitement around this event, around the 2026 FIFA World Cup coming to North America. The reality is, Glenn, that this is a really special tournament, and they have done an amazing job in South America to build the brand. Obviously, the teams themselves have incredible products on the field. But when you look at how they can elevate further the brand of the event, the brand of the sport, this will be the second opportunity in 8 years that they have chosen to come to the United States with it. We were very fortunate in 2016 to be a part of it, and honestly a shining star of a market, the second most attended of all the markets that participated in 2016. We had Messi and the U.S. in the semifinals for that match that year. And so, the growth of the sport really needs the U.S. to continue to be backing and a place where they can come with the biggest and the best events. And this is certainly one of those that qualifies for that.
By the way, it was mind-blowing to me to think that the Copa Centenario in 2016, the 100-year celebration, was 7 years ago. That scared the you-know-what out of me when I realized that just now. I'm looking at you, and I'm going, that was 7 years ago.
Yeah, it was, but it feels like it was yesterday. I mean, you just look at the impact that event had, and you asked about the economics. The 2016 event had almost a $40 million economic impact on our community across the 3 events that we hosted here. Wow. I would imagine a very similar, if not larger, impact here. And that's fantastic for Houston. You look at where these events are situated on the calendar. middle of the summer, right around the 4th of July break. There's a lot of people traveling and going out of town typically, but with these type of events, in particular these three that will be here next summer, a lot of people coming into our community and getting to celebrate the incredible hospitality community that we have here in Houston, the great restaurants, hotels, attractions, flying into our city and being able to celebrate the sport they love. So, yeah, I mean, it's something that, we and the many stakeholders, including the Harris County Houston Sports Authority, Houston First, the Dynamo, NRG Park itself, we all take great pride in being able to bring these things together. And this one will be a big one, no doubt.
We are fortunate as people in the Houston soccer community to get this type of content coming through. We really, really are. Sometimes we have to take a step back and just say, wow, the opportunity to see world-class soccer in our backyard is pretty much off the charts. We're talking to David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, does a great job of rallying our Houston soccer community around all these events. Do you, and I don't even know if you have an answer for this, David, but do you think this will be the norm in the future with Copa America, with mixing in maybe CONCACAF?
Well, I think it's a partnership that is very important to the growth of the sport here in this part of the world. So I do think that on a strategic basis, you will see continued collaboration, and you should. For fans here and people who have made their way to the United States, and particularly in Houston, the most diverse community in America, there are not that many opportunities to see these teams play. And when they do, it is a celebration of the culture, not just a celebration of the team itself. And that's something that as a society is obviously a very important part of our fabric. So, I think there's a business side to this. There's no doubt. The realities are that, there are many, many options and ways to do these events. You need to spread the wealth around to continue to grow the game globally. But for commercial reasons, I have no doubt that this won't be the last time that we see this here. And for our community, we need to continue to work every single time there are events like this out there to make sure Houston is part of the story.
David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. By the way, the draw is 6:30 Central Time, Fox Sports 1. I think that's Thursday, David, you said?
Right.
And you will be down there. You'll be representing Lone Star Sports and Entertainment and the event. You'll be at the FIFA event. You'll be at the draw. That's exciting. Just give us some ticket information from what you have right now. Also, again, when the two group games are and the quarterfinal.
Yeah, so we have not received a final plan for when tickets will go on sale at this point, early 2024. You can join the wait list right now, lsse.net. Lsse.net is our website here at Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, and it will be a great resource for where fans can get all the information. Get on there now. You can join the wait list. You'll be the first to know when tickets do go on sale. As far as the rest of the specifics around the event, three matches announced yesterday for NRG Stadium. June 22nd will be the opener for the Mexican national team of the tournament. They have not revealed the opponent yet. On June 24th, we will have another group stage match. That matchup comes from the Brazil group.
Imagine Brazil being here? Oh my!
We know it will not be Brazil, but it will.
Oh, that's right, because they're the top seed.
Yeah, they're a seeded team, so we know we won't have Brazil specifically, but it will come from their group. And that closes out our pool round matches, and then we host the first quarterfinal of the tournament on the 4th of July here at Houston at NRG Stadium. That match will feature the winner of Argentina's group against the runner-up of Mexico's group. And Glenn, I don't need to tell you, you know firsthand, I mean, just the thought of Argentina with Lionel Messi and the World Cup champions potentially playing the Mexican national team in a knockout round match. That happened last year in Qatar, and it was arguably the game of the tournament. And so you know, we'll see how that unfolds. But regardless of who the matchup is, great celebration of the sport here for 2+ weeks in Houston.
Nothing brings the best out of Mexico better than Argentina, David. You know that. David Fletcher of Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. This is so exciting. You know, I looked at the venues. I was a little surprised there was nothing in Portland or Seattle for this.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest has been a really stronghold for soccer in this country. You know, whatever those factors may have been, you know, I certainly know they were part of the conversation to be considered, and rightfully so. You see the flow of the tournament. It is very interesting when you look at the schedule. A lot of West Coast games to start. They move back in the middle of the tournament towards the center of the country, and that's where we will see our biggest event. And then finish everything on the East Coast with Charlotte and New York and Miami to close it out. So, you know, it's always fun to see how they put together these calculations and put together these schedules. Obviously, you know, 14 venues, part of it, NRG, one of them, they have hit a very large segment of this country, and many of the World Cup markets will be a part of this and use this event as a community to really start putting preparations truly into place for 2026. So Houston will look at it that way from a global perspective, and certainly we'll be taking best practices out of this tournament for what we do with that event in 2+ years.
And I would think there's a lot of activation kind of around this about reminding people that the 2026 World Cup's going to be in Houston, right?
Yeah, Chris Canetti and the World Cup office done a fantastic job really putting Houston's plan together. There is still a lot of it in the infancy, but I can imagine that you know, all the stakeholders between us, NRG Park, the Dynamo, Houston First, Harris County Houston Sports Story, the World Cup office, all of the great volunteers, media members that have helped put Houston on the map as a soccer destination, we'll continue to collaborate to make the most of these opportunities.
And by the way, all of us U.S. soccer fans, we want some of that top-level South American competition. That's a big thing for the U.S. men's national team and Greg Berhalter. All right, this is the most cutting-edge question, though. You better be rooted to your seat. Real quick, as we're up on a little bit of a hard break here. You are a father. You have a son and daughter playing. Tell me how much joy you are having after playing the game through, you know, your lens, watching your son and daughter play the game.
Yeah, it's probably, Glenn, I appreciate you asking. It's probably my favorite and most agonizing part of my life, to be honest. You know, you want them to do their best. You hear about the trials and tribulations. My daughter's been dealing with a knee injury, and it's been both rewarding and painful to watch her go through that, because I've seen the fight. I've seen her build in character. And so, you know, that's what sport is about. As a parent, you really can't control necessarily exactly what happens on the field. So I am excited to watch them continue to grow. Sport of soccer has been so important to my life, as it is to yours. And, you know, to be around it still is a blessing, and to be able to pass that on to the next generation is even more fun. And so, you know, we look forward to being able to see them on the field this spring, and then you know, roll into summer when we see this come here, and a lot more beyond it as well, Glenn. There is, you know, you mentioned it from the outset. You know, Houston is going to continue to get great opportunities. Our organization, the Sports Authority, and the Dynamo. You know, we haven't even touched on women's Gold Cup coming to Shell Energy. You know, the success that the Dynamo had on the field and their new season ahead, along with the Dash, and then international teams continuing to come back to Houston on a regular basis. This is where they want to be for all the reasons that we've talked about. And, you know, so more to come on this, but going up to and beyond the World Cup, Houston will be the place for soccer.
Will we continue to have your big-time friendlies that you always produce each and every year?
We do. We do plan to, and more details to follow very shortly on what that looks like both this coming summer and beyond.
And, David, I know you push for it. This is a real quick one. Will we ever get a final here? Will we ever get to be the city that hosts the final outside of a New York or an L.A.? You know, could we ever get a Gold Cup final, or even in a future Copa America if it was here?
Look, this market has proven to be as strong as any. The youth soccer participation levels, I think we're first or second in the country. The proximity to being in the middle of the country, being so close to Latin America, being the gateway to Latin America and a truly global city, we have all the reasons for a final to come to this city. We have the infrastructure, but most importantly, Glenn, we have the people and we have the know-how. And so I do feel confident our efforts will bring us a final at some point, hopefully in the very near future. But I can promise you that as a group, the civic leaders and the stakeholders here are going to continue to push to make Houston the best destination we can for the sport. And that's good for everybody here.
He's David Fletcher, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, huge part of our soccer community, leading the way over there at Energy. David, thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, appreciate it, Glenn. Appreciate your support.
As always. All right, that's David Fletcher. We'll take a break. We got a big second hour coming up.